Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. We are here in our undisclosed location, our studio deep behind the orange curtain. And wow, yesterday that was football. And I'm not even a big sports guy, but that game had me glued to the screen. I thought it was in the bag. Thought Atlanta had it. And then this is exactly what I always tell my kids. You just don't ever give up. And I think whether you're a Patriots fan or not, those guys were down but not out, and they came back and they just would not let go. It's almost like you almost could sense that there was this tenacity, this something kicked in. It's like primeval instinct for survival. And it was freaking amazing. I mean, I loved it. So I know we had Sweet James in the studio on Friday, and he had to explain a little bit of sports to me. And if that offended any of you, I'm sorry. I was good to have him here. We're going to have him more often to get me into a football frame of mind. But anyway, amazing game, incredible finish, and a good time with people. Now, in the midst of all of this, of course, deep political overtones, undertones, and the like, because everybody was holding their breath watching Lady Gaga. And then something incredible happened. I don't know if you missed it. You missed it, didn't you? Well, I'll tell you, it was nothing short of a miracle. Lady Gaga, as one headline put it, shut up and sang. She said nothing political. I mean, essentially, it was just her music. And everyone was absolutely floored. The party I went to was quite a lot of people, and they know I do the show, and so we're talking, and everybody was watching me as Lady Gaga was singing, because I was ready. I was there. I wanted to see it live, so I wouldn't miss a thing. And there I was just watching Lady Gaga, you know, on some kind of a trampoline thing or whatever it was, you know, suspended high above the stadium, twirling around. Good. So that nothing happened there. In the meantime, as the Super Bowl is going, which is supposed to be the time you're not, you know, not political, there was that right before the game, there was that interview. Trump, O'Reilly had an interview with Trump, and it aired right before the Super Bowl. And I'm going to get to some of it today because it's very good. And it's interesting. Everybody's talking about it, but I think some of the key points of what went down were missed. And so I'll get to that. Don't worry. Stay buckled in. Now, all right. The hilarious opposition to Trump continues. And I know we've chronicled it here. Various people going absolutely nuts everywhere and anywhere. Shia LaBeouf, right? Remember the actor? He's got his little project on the street corner. Have you noticed, though? You know what I'm talking about? He's got the camera set up, and he got arrested on it. He's doing these chants. He looks like he's deranged. You know, he's probably on some kind of drug or drugs. He's chanting into the camera, and he's hitting people, and he got arrested. But he set up that camera as part of the project. Well, apparently people are coming up to the camera and delivering pro-Trump messages now. So it's been backfiring a little bit. And then Trump went on a vacation this weekend. He went down to his Mar-a-Lago resort in Palm Beach to headline a fundraiser. It's actually the 60th anniversary Red Cross Ball. And it is, well, even by Palm Beach standards, it is considered the annual charity event. And Palm Beach is a crazy place. If you haven't been, it's the kind of spot where the richest of the rich go to mix and mingle. And most of these people, by the way, hate Trump. I think Trump called himself when he bought Mar-a-Lago, which is this beautiful home that was built by a famous heiress, the post-serial heiress. She had a ton of money. didn't spare a dime on this place. He bought it, by the way, for $10 million, which is like nothing. Giveaway. Because it's the biggest property on, and I think on the island there in Palm Beach. It's enormous. Buys it for $10 million, and everybody there hates him because it's a really old money place. So he owns Mar-a-Lago, but he can't even become a member at the club next door. That's some, waspy type deal. So anyway, he goes down, him and Melania, they go down to the event. And of course, what else but a sea of protesters? Well, liberal media is reporting 3,000, but there's a ton of protesters out there because that's how this is now, right? Everywhere you go, there's a protest. And guess who they found at this protest outside? I mean, of all the people who you don't want supporting your cause. Yes. Yeah, you heard this too. Casey Anthony. Remember her? Killed her daughter, stuffed her in a suit, in a trunk of her car, left her there, and then got away with it. Right? She was acquitted. So, Super Mom of the Year. She's out there holding a sign. Wait, I've got the sign here. She has a sign out that says, "Wake up, people. Divide and conquer is at work." And then I think, in a poorly worded ending here, says, "Rise up." So, big protest. And guess what? Trump didn't care. It's another thing, folks. He doesn't care. Like, if you're out there protesting, he doesn't care. He goes in, great party, about 500 people, and it is ostentatious. Apparently, it's Vienna. What is this? Vienna to Versailles. So Versailles is, the big castle palace built by Louis XIV, excuse me. So it's an opulent party. Waiters are dressed in wigs. Everything's gilded. Oh, magnificent food. And outside, the protesters are chanting, and Trump apparently didn't care. And here's what's interesting to me about this. The difference a year makes. Last year, and I looked this up, Trump missed the party because it's been held at Mar-a-Lago for years now. Last year, which was the 59th annual ball, Trump missed it. And you know why? He was busy. He was campaigning in New Hampshire at that time. So the campaign was full swing. And I looked up an article from last year. Yeah, and the press was all, it's funny what happens a year later. Because last year, they were commenting on how he wasn't there, how he was missing it, his first time he's missing it in years, whatnot. And how when they announced his name as one of the big benefactors of the event, it was met with a snickering, with some snickering and some boos in the crowd. And this year, nobody booed him inside, by the way. That's what's interesting. I mean, trust me, if Washington Post, if they had heard a boo, they would have written about it. In fact, that would have been the headline of the piece. Trump booed at 60th anniversary charity ball. Now, here's the thing. Even if you hate Trump, he raised a crap ton of money for the Red Cross. So, I mean, tickets ran for almost like $50,000, some of them. So he's drawing a crowd. And now there are people are turning around. So this is the guy that came in. This is the nouveau riche, golden everything Trump that came in, bought this prized piece of real estate in the heart of the snootiest part of the country, spent only $10 million on it. And the funniest thing is now he's president and he is there poking. It's a poke in the eye of all of these elites, the people that do not have any clue, zero clue, no idea of what is going on between, West Palm Beach, New York, and Los Angeles. I mean, for them, okay, even the Florida panhandle is a world away. And here, a guy that they have sneered at and that they have mocked and made fun of all these years is now president of the United States. This is kind of like the 10-year reunion, when you leave high school And it's, you know, and it's the fat nerdy kid that comes back and he's a doctor, you know, and he's got the hot wife and, you know, life is going great for him. And, you know, you were the jock and you thought you were Mr. Cool, you know, and you're flipping burgers. So that's kind of what this is all about. It just picture the scene. Picture it. So a year later, he had to go to this party. He missed it last year. He goes back and it's sort of like this. It's a triumphant return. And I don't know, I don't have any pictures of him arriving on a chariot, but I'm sort of picturing it in my mind. So, before he goes down there, he sits down with O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly, for an interview. And I'm going to take my time with this because he really lays out some stuff. Now, the Putin comment, I'll get to it, that got all the attention. But there was more to be said in it because Trump really did in this interview sort of lay out an agenda for what it is that he considers to be important. And I think it's important to listen to him, regardless of where you stand on the issues. It's good to listen, to take time and look at an interview where he sits down for, you know, for an hour and talks about what's on his mind, is being asked some pointed questions. So, of course, mind you, the big thing going on right now is Iran. Iran, if you missed it, These crazy Ayatollahs are firing off missiles, right? They're shooting missiles. And this is a big deal because they said that they were going to. See, we paid them, I don't know, what is it, $1.6 billion. We paid them off. We lifted sanctions. Obama said, oh, good, you guys are being good now. Here's the deal. We're going to give you a lot of money and we're going to lift sanctions and life is going to be good. But now you can't pursue your nuclear program and you can't weaponize your nuclear program. You could only use nuclear power for, you know, electricity. And anyone with half a brain would look at that and say, no, that's not what they're going to do. Are you dumb? And that's basically the tack that Trump here, the first thing he does here, he lays out what the nuclear deal meant. And this is what he says about it. Play clip number 3.
I think it was the worst deal I've ever seen negotiated. I think it was a deal that should have never been negotiated. Absolutely. The deal that was made by the Obama administration. I think it's a shame that we've had a deal like that and that we had to sign a deal like that and there was no reason to do it. And if you're going to do it, have a good deal. We gave them $1.7 billion in cash, which is unheard of. And we put the money up and we have really nothing to show for it.
Zero. Absolutely nothing. In fact, they're firing missiles. It's a giant FU, right? They're basically sticking up their middle fingers at us. Now, the interesting thing is in fact, the argument here is, and it's an important thing to understand, is that Iran actually feels emboldened by this because Obama pursued a policy of appeasement. And Trump is making it really clear that that's not what he's going to do. And here's what he actually says about Iran feeling emboldened. And play this.
No, I'm not bullish. I think they have total disrespect for our country. And I understand that deal. I would have lived with it if they said, OK, we're all together now. But it was just the opposite. It's like they're emboldened. They follow our planes. They circle our ships with their little boats and they lost respect because they can't believe anybody could be so stupid as to make a deal like that.
Now, the best thing is that little boats line, because you know, these interviews are not just for the benefit of the American public consuming it or for the public at large. OK, these are interviews that are signals sent to the world leaders of these countries that he's talking about. Mark my words on this. And that becomes the greater context, and I'll get into it a little bit later, but that becomes the greater context for the Putin comment. Okay? So everybody wants something out of it, wants a certain opinion put out, but Trump's agenda ultimately is advancing his agenda with these foreign leaders. And it's interesting, he actually found an unlikely ally. And that is, let's play really quickly this Feinstein clip. This is what Feinstein says about Trump.
I think he is right in this. I think Iran is wrong in this. Let me be very clear. These are not nuclear ballistic missiles. They are not conventional ballistic missiles. But Iran has a lot of them, more than anybody else in that area. And the need to test right now, I think, is very dangerous and should not have happened. Iran also has an election coming up this year, the first part of the year. And how much of this is political, I can't tell. Is it a mistake? Is it wrong? Yes. Now, the president has taken action with some sanctions, and we'll have to see if they have an effect. They are limited in their nature.
Yeah, so this is it, right? So now, so even Senator Feinstein, right, Democratic ranking Democratic senator, Foreign Relations Committee, she's a hawk, Democrat, but she sees that, you know, she agrees with Trump. This is critical. So when we come back, let me get into this Putin thing. I'll give you maybe an unexpected opinion on it when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And we're back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC, talking about the Trump interview Bill O'Reilly did that aired right before the Super Bowl. And some of it aired today on The Factor as well on Fox News. And so, one thing that everyone is talking about and just jumping all over Trump about is this his comments on Putin. Now, I want to play the actual clip and then give you my thoughts. He's basically O'Reilly's baiting me. He goes, Putin, you're not really friends with him. You can't possibly. And then this is what he says.
Will I get along with him? I have no idea.
He's a killer, though. Putin's a killer.
A lot of killers. We got a lot of killers. Why, you think our country's so innocent? You think our country's so innocent?
I don't know of any government leaders that are killers in America.
Well, take a look at what we've done, too. We've made a lot of mistakes. I've been against the war in Iraq from the beginning.
Yeah, mistakes are different then.
A lot of mistakes. Okay, but a lot of people were killed. So a lot of killers around, believe me.
Okay, so now look, the one side is saying, and I get it, Putin, for sure, is a thug. No question about it. I mean, he's murdered journalists in cold blood. He's murdered investigators in cold blood. The guy is basically he is a politician, not like a President Obama. OK, President Obama, I don't think, shoved polonium into, a former rival, although I think he's wanted to do it at more than one occasion. OK, that's Putin. Yes, agreed. What Trump is saying is, look, we drone strike Americans all the time. I mean, Anwar al-Awlaki. I mean, no warrant, no due process, nothing. We take him out with a drone. We kill his son. And Obama administration answer to that is, well, he should have had a better dad. Okay. This is the greater issue here, and it goes to the second part of what Trump says. And roll the tape here on the next clip.
Well, I respect a lot of people, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get along with them. He's a leader of his country. I say it's better to get along with Russia than not. And if Russia helps us in the fight against ISIS, which is a major fight, and Islamic terrorism all over the world,
right?
Major fight, that's a good thing.
Here's what's been slowly happening behind the scenes. Okay, the Middle East, the Middle East is always a delicate balancing act. Okay, Israel's a tiny little country you can't really depend on to maintain order. We had Iraq, we had Iran, sworn mortal enemies. They were sort of a yin and yang. They balanced each other out. I mean, we had other countries there that helped keep order. The Middle East is destabilized. The Bush administration and the Obama administration have done that. The issue here is that in the last few years, quietly but steadily, Iran has been cozying up to Russia. They've been establishing trade deals. Remember with the sanctions, we weren't providing trade, so Iran went to Russia and began developing really good relationships there. Trump understands, and I think that this is I'm telling you, this is a smart strategy. That relationship needs to be uncoupled. Okay, it is the alliance. We do not want to have Russia and Iran in bed together. We also need to be concerned about Russia and China, and I've talked about that before on the program. Now, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That is an adage as old as time. And what Trump is trying to do here is he is using these interviews and he's using his appearances, you know, when he was in the campaign and people were asking him about Putin. He refuses to slam Putin. He almost understands instinctively that Putin's not the kind of person that likes to be slammed. Putin's a pretty thin-skinned guy. So what he's doing is he's putting out he's extending some olive branches. And it's not a bad strategy because, again, the question is, who do we want on our side? You know, can we live with Putin as an ally to help us balance out all these crazy ayatollahs in Iran? Okay. Or do we want to risk having both of them as our sworn mortal enemies? Better to have one enemy than two. So, we've got John Wolfe with the news next, and then we are back with more exciting funness. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
We don't fake news. We break news and make news. 790 KABC.
And welcome back, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Trump is already performing great acts of public service, not the least of which is this update from Lena Dunham herself. Apparently, Lena Dunham claims that Donald Trump made her lose weight. Well, I'll let that sink in for a minute. I hope you know who I'm talking about. She's a horrible liberal, right? She's the creator of the Girl series, stars in it, you know, the HBO special or show. And apparently, my understanding of it, I've never seen it, is that there's a bunch of moderately unattractive young women in their 20s who all sit around and hate on men. I mean, that's kind of my understanding generally of what the show is about. And they also like to get naked. But it's not the kind of get naked that you'd ever want to see. So it's sort of, you know, it is pornographic, but in a more of a Nat Geo kind of way. So anyway, she was talking to none other than Howard Stern and said that Donald Trump became president and I stopped being able to eat food. How many people do you know like Lena Dunham? I mean, we live in L.A., so California, the people among us have totally lost their minds. But here's why. Down later in the conversation, she told Howard Stern that she had no idea. She could not even fathom in the election running up, you know, to everything that Trump could ever win. She says it seemed like an impossible joke that would never happen. Quote unquote, we had the most qualified candidate ever. And she's running against a steak salesman. We're going to be fine. Close quote. Now, see, this is why the libs are so just shocked and so devastated and so beyond themselves. It's because they talk themselves into a completely alternate reality. Forget alternative facts. This is an alternative reality. They had no idea and no understanding why people were upset in this country. They couldn't get it. And anyone who thinks that Hillary Clinton was the most qualified candidate in a generation is on some kind of psychotropic drugs. Okay? Guaranteed. I mean, I know, but this is Lena Dunham. I mean, she's the one who makes up rape stories and then, you know, turns people's lives upside down and then later turns out it's all, I mean, anyway. Oberlin College. Look it up. It's Well, that's Lena Dunham for you. But she's thinner now, so two thumbs up. Okay. You know the whole Putin thing? Everybody's going crazy. I heard a great explanation. I'm going to borrow it. This was on Fox News the other day. Earlier today. On Bill Hemmer's show. He had Britt Hume on, who's a senior correspondent, as you know. Fox News. Been around a long time. Used to be a presidential correspondent. And Hemmer asks him about the Trump, the Putin comment. And here is what Britt Hume says.
What I think is happening here, Bill, is that that Trump has this hunch that he's going to be able to strike some kind of relationship with Vladimir Putin in which they will be allies in the war on terror and fight ISIS together, and that he will have a smooth relationship with him. I don't think he's sure that's going to happen. Indeed, he says he's not sure that's going to happen. But he seems intent on protecting the possibility. Thus, you hear him, you know, refusing to go along with Bill O'Reilly's quite factual assertion that Putin is a killer. In the meantime, though, this is a wonderful example, Bill, of the striking distance between what Trump says and what he and the people around him do. Trump says this silly thing about Putin in which he seems to create a moral equivalence between the Putin regime and our government. And then, in the meantime, however, just a few days ago, Nikki Haley, in her first speech as our UN ambassador, attacks the Russians and makes it very clear that that the United States policy, as far as she's concerned, is opposed to what he did in Crimea and elsewhere. So you get this striking contrast between what the people around Trump and often himself do and what he sometimes says. He says a lot of silly things. He often does a lot smarter things.
Bingo. So I want to talk about that when we come back. Exactly. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
And Sam Rogowski here. Have you ever been in a hotel and found a cockroach? Well, if you have, you probably need to find a new hotel. Or perhaps call Sweet James. I'll tell you, this is what happened to this one lady. So she's someplace on vacation and ends up waking up in the morning. And she doesn't feel quite right. I think that's the best way to say it. Doesn't feel quite right. She's got a little bit of a tingling sensation sort of up her nose. Kind of, well, you would say in sort of behind her eye. It's described as a tingling and crawling sensation. Now, of course, she goes, this kind of lasts a few days, so she decides to go to the doctor. And the doctor discovers that there is literally a live cockroach that is living inside of her skull. No, it was alive, and it was alive a number of days, probably laying little babies in there. Anyway, they needed to, like, pull it out. They used some giant, you know, pliers. You know they're crunchy, right? Can you imagine what that sounded like? They managed to get it out. It would have been a lot worse. It would have... Are you people turning the radio off? Is that you think what's going on? Okay, well, hang... Just bear with me here. This can't be worse than talking about Lena Dunham losing weight. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so they pull it out, you know, they get the cockroach out. Thank goodness it didn't die up there because they say there's a huge problem there. You've got an infection problem. But yeah, Gizmodo called it a living nightmare. And it took, the best part is, you know, doctors didn't even know. They sent her away a couple times, right? They're like, you're fine. There's nothing wrong with you except for that cockroach living in your brain. Okay. If that happens to you, what do you do? Get the cockroach out, step one. Step two, put the cockroach in some kind of a baggie or something where you're going to preserve that bit of evidence because you're going to call Sweet James. And whoever put that cockroach up your nose is going to pay big time. Yeah, you don't want to, you're not going to leave that to the insurance company, you know. You're going straight for Sweet James. Got to get the lawyer we trust. To protect you and your rights and make sure no one ever suffers this type of injury again. What number do you call? Now, you know, it's 800 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit Sweet James' website. Yeah, sweetjames.com. Easy. All right. What do we got here? Well, besides this terrible story. Gosh, horrible. We got to talk about, I want to give you a little bit of lawyer insight here onto this TRO everyone's talking about. Temporary restraining order, for those of you not in on the lingo. So this judge in Seattle, James Robart, I actually don't know if that's how they pronounce his name, but I think that's how I would pronounce it if my name was Robart. James Robart is a total idiot. You know, he has some great rulings in the past, so journalists are starting to dig, you know, because the left is saying, oh, he's a Bush appointee. Look, this is so this sanctifies his intrusion on this racist Trump agenda to exclude Muslims from this country. This all has to do with the immigration order, right? The temporary immigration order, which is well within the president's legal rights. This goes back to the Immigration Act of 1952. The president has full executive authority to do this. So Robart, this judge, gets up and he says, oh, not going to do it. And by the way, guess what? He ruled on some police case. He was ruling on a pay case. Cops wanted more money. They got into a dispute with the city of Seattle. And he goes on a tirade about Black Lives Matter when he ruled against the cops. And he cited statistics, like national statistics. It doesn't matter what happens nationally with Black Lives Matter and cops shooting, you know, people. What matters is Seattle, if anything. And I don't know how that involves a police, you know, a contract dispute. But when I come back, I want to tell you this because this is just, it's not going to stand as much as all you liberals want it to come down to a crashing halt. Trump can do this. And the man's in charge, and he is plowing forward. So buckle up! Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio
790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. And yeah, so this judge in Seattle, you might ask, why does some judge in Seattle get to decide national foreign policy? Okay, for the entire country? It's a very good question. It's very rare, by the way, that a single TRO from a single district court cover the entire nation. Because here what happened was two states, Washington and I think Oregon. No, Minnesota. Those two states, very liberal state attorney generals went in and basically threw everything in the kitchen sink into their motions, right? Their request for this TRO, saying the states are going to suffer an irreparable harm. And the funny thing is, you know what kind of stupid things that they listed for the irreparable harm? They said... We have college students that are coming from these countries and they can't start college. I mean, it is lame. Let me tell you, flimsy at best. And then they deliberately went to a judge that they knew was going to be a leftist sympathizer like this guy, because he's got all this stupid Black Lives Matter stuff. Oh, and by the way, he does pro bono work helping refugees. So this guy's a goof. So they get him, and they know also they're forum shopping, which is a fancy way of saying picking the court that's going to help you. Because where is this case going to go once it's appealed from this guy? All the way to the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals based in where? San Francisco. You know the Ninth Circuit? I mean, lawyers, we call it the Ninth Circus. They're so kooky, they can never get a decision right. They're always it's the one circuit that is most overruled by the Supreme Court, which means what do? They're activists. They care more about the agenda behind it than about the law. So Trump, hear me out on this. Love it or hate it, Trump is within his rights as president to make decisions about who comes in and who goes. And you know what? It doesn't matter if he seeks to exclude Muslims or not. At the end of the day, he can pick which countries to exclude. And saying that it's a Muslim ban is ridiculous and stupid because, well, he ought to put Malaysia, which is one of the, what is the most populous, Indonesia, which is the most, the most populous Muslim countries. And, oh, by the way, excluding, places like Saudi Arabia and others. So it's not going to, this challenge is nothing more than a sideshow. Another example of where other people, either politicians, people in the media, judges, are trying at any cost to obstruct the Trump agenda. And I'm telling you, I mean, what I saw in this Bill O'Reilly interview, what I heard, and I played just a few clips for you, but what I heard was an absolutely cogent, coherent message, a man with a plan, moving forward. And honestly, he doesn't care about the protesters. He doesn't care about this judge. It's not going to let him stop him. All right. We're going to be back here 7 p.m. on Wednesday. And I will talk to you then. We've got John Wolf with the news next. Have a good night. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Choose not to life of imitation. Distant us into the reservation. Three songs to kiss, but then to pay for. Talk Radio 790 KABC.